Did I? Right. What we're doing today, we're looking in Acts chapter 27. And we've been doing that for the last few weeks, and we are going to do that today and next week as well. The reason being, if you haven't been around, just to recap, just felt God really speaking to me through this particular chapter for us as a church, and how it relates to us and who we are and what we're doing at the moment, what's happening with the various things that happen, like the job clump and the clothes swap and the toy library, and how the people that are part of that community and the church congregation, how we journey together, and how sort of faith pulls it all together and what God's doing in it all. So the first week we looked at the inner journey that these people are on this boat. So they're in the storm, and the journey that happens is more a journey of faith that grows in people as they go through the circumstance, rather than them getting from A to B in the Mediterranean Sea. So that's what we looked at last week, 2 weeks ago rather. Last week we looked at the gospel words, the words that Paul spoke. He spoke warning, but then he spoke hope, and he spoke encouragement. And in the end, you find there's a church of three on board this ship, and there's 276 people. But these three people, and Paul being the leader, it seems anyway that the ship and the crew on there, they start to share Paul's faith. So nobody really says anything, but they're kind of like, okay, well, we're going to stick with him because he seems to think that we're going to get there. Does that make sense? And that's kind of, I do sense what God's doing here, is that the people come along and they join with us, and they kind of look at us and they kind of think, I'm going to stick with them. And the words that are spoken are important, because the words then that we speak qualify and quantify what we believe and what it's all about. And today I'm going to look at, I've sort of titled this, Keeping It Together. We're in this together. We're keeping it together. On this ship, there are various, as I mentioned before, different community groups. You've got prisoners, you've got soldiers, you've got sailors, you've got this little church, and they're all stuck on the boat together. If you can imagine it would be like everyone seals we seal the doors now, and you can't get out of this room. You know, maybe they drop, it's a bit like the Big Brother house, you know, if you've watched that program, I've heard about it. And we would be just stuck here like they were stuck on this ship. I don't imagine the ship to be much bigger than this room. Well, maybe it was a bit bigger if they had 276, but not hugely bigger. And they're all stuck on it together. That boat became their world. And they have to journey together whether they like it or not. And to start with, up until now, we've focused on all the main characters in the boat. We've got a centurion, we've got Paul. But there are a couple of cameo appearances in the story, which you're going to read now. Let's just read the first few verses. This is before they start really off on this journey and go through the storm. I'll read from the beginning of the chapter. It says, "When it was decided that we would set sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship..." Oh, I can't come to read these words. "From Adramyttium," there we go, "about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia. And we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in his kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs." Now, here we are. We haven't really got started here, but there's this great journey ahead of Paul that he didn't really know about at this point. They know they're going on a journey, but they didn't know how momentous it was going to be. But before the journey really begins, Paul is helped by some other people, some friends. It seems Paul has friends in many places, doesn't he? But I guess if you've travelled around as much as Paul, then you're going to have friends all over the place. And interestingly, he's still friends with them, because you kind of sometimes get the impression of Paul, he's a bit of a, I don't know how you see Paul, but he's sometimes quite tough with his words and way he speaks to people. But regardless of that, he has still got friends all over the place. So he's helped by them. But actually the first person that helps Paul is Julius. Have you noticed that? Julius, in his kindness, allows Paul to go and see his friends. And I think, before we go anywhere, we think we need to not dismiss the help of non-Christians. I think in the church, we we tend to shy away from non-Christians. Well, we'll, the Lord is with us, God's people, and let's, if it isn't Christian, we don't touch it. But actually, Julius here, the centurion, it is through him that this opens up. And sometimes I think we just need to allow God to use things that we wouldn't expect and people that we wouldn't expect, and just kind of and open up doors. I think we found that with the church. You know, the borough, the local council just give us £10,000. You know, and I know some church settings, they would kind of go, no, that's not God's money, we're not going to use it. And you think, well, I don't know about you, but I just think, well, that's God's provision. In fact, we are able to redeem that money because it's now been put to kingdom use. So anyway, Julius allows Paul to go and see his friends. So thank you, Julius. And it says here that they provide for Paul's needs. Now, I don't know about you, but I seem to think, we have this idea that Paul is a bit of a superhuman. Yeah, he's kind of like, this guy can do absolutely everything. He traveled everywhere and he has needs. Paul has needs. Yeah, he does. We all do, don't we? Yeah. Paul is not superhuman, neither are we. And we all need other people to help us and to provide for our needs. Now, Paul, as I said, he wouldn't have known the full extent of this journey ahead of him. He knew he was going on a boat and a journey to Italy, but the storm and all the stuff that happened, he probably wouldn't have known all that. So this pit stop at the beginning of the journey is a vital refreshment and a vital equipping for what lies ahead. And his friends here, they provide for his needs. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe they provided practical things for him. Maybe they provided some food. You know, like Mum does at the, here, tuck a bit of lunch under, here's your lunch, you know, Paul kind of thing. And I'm sure that may have happened. Maybe they provided clothes. Maybe they provided for his emotional needs. Maybe, you know, because he's got this situation where he's having to go to Caesar. I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe they just needed to chat it through, talk it through. Maybe they prayed for him. I'm sure they prayed for him and imparted some kind of spiritual gifts, maybe shared those kind of things. I don't know. Whatever it was, they provided for his needs, and we all have needs, don't we? Yeah, we as a church have needs, and other people from outside the church help us. And I think that's important that we recognize that we need help. We don't go it alone. We don't, as a church, don't go it alone. You as individuals and me as an individual, we don't do it alone. We need help. We have our needs. And God provides people to help us with that. Now, I'll come back to that in a second, but the other little sort of cameo visit, if you like, is a bit later on in the middle of the storm. If you go to verse 23, which is where the angel shows up. So it says in verse 23, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So now, this is later on in the story, they're in the midst of the storm. It's all kind of kicking off and everyone's lost hope. And then in the middle of all of that, in the middle of the ferocious storm, when it seems they're all alone, an angel comes and stands alongside Paul. And this is like a visitation from another dimension. You've got the spiritual realm and the natural realm intersecting. And the message is, as always it seems with God, when he shows up and speaks to people, don't be afraid. Easy to say, but when the boat's being tossed about all over the place and people have lost hope and they've thrown everything overboard just to try and save themselves, the message is, don't be afraid. When God is with his people, do not be afraid. When God is moving and he's with us and we're going with him, do not be afraid. It may look bad, you may feel all alone, but you're not. I am with you. Do not be afraid. So the friends at Sidon at the beginning of the journey and the angel in the middle of the journey, these are vital helps to Paul because they give encouragement, they provide for needs, and the outside input that they provide sustains the journey. And I think we as a church, we need to remember this because we're a little church. Have you noticed? Yeah. And we journey with quite a small community as well. We journey together, but we do not do this in isolation. We are an independent church, but we're not on our own. And we're ministering to a very specific community, but we don't do that in isolation. And from time to time, people from the outside, and they come to us, and they minister to our needs. Very encouraging to have people from Australia here today. Fantastic. It's a ministry in itself, just being here. And believe me, it is. Just so, thank you. And, you know, people come in from time to time. Sometimes they say something, sometimes they don't. But they minister to us one way or another. And I think we need to recognize that. And we need to also recognize that our connections with other churches, people from outside, they're vital to our life, aren't we? They remind us that we're not alone. Even just breaking bread together, knowing that actually in other churches all around the world, they're breaking bread together as well. We are not alone in this. And actually, a lot of times, the things that we lack in ourselves, other people and other churches help us and equip us. So even though we sometimes, it's very rare that an angel shows up, but I think the connections we have with other people around us remind us that we are not alone. So our connections with Addleston Baptist Church reminds us we are not alone. In this town, we stand united. I'm just reminding you, you know, the South Runnymede churches, we don't stand alone. You know, all of those churches are on the same page, if you like. That we're all wanting to do the same thing in different ways and in different places. But we're all united in Christ, and we just want to see the gospel preached and people come to know Christ and people grow in Christ. It's all the same kind of thing. We're all doing this together. We've got friends over in Ashford Congregational Church. You remember Keith came and preached here beginning of the year, and connections there, and now Liam is ministering there. I'm sure that's going to carry on. Friends at Guildford Baptist Church. Got Olive Branch in Spain, where Graham and Sheila go. And Chris and Emma are there just over the summer, and they said, they pray for us regularly, and they pray for the kids and everything. You got people like Paul Benison, Peter Jackson from Guildford Baptist Church. Lots, and then there's also the personal connections that people I don't even know that you're friends that you might talk to. You know, there's people I know, Keith and Margaret, have known for donkey's years, you know, and you know, vaguely know the name and. But we're not in this alone. We're doing this together. And from time to time, and it is from time to time, because when you only see these people infrequently sometimes, and maybe even just once in a blue moon, but when that happens, God does bring spiritual refreshment. And so lap it up. Let it inspire us. Let it lead us on to greater things. That's the right thing to do. So the warning, not a warning, but the thing not to do is never to try and walk alone. Never try and think, well, no, it's okay. We don't really need other people's help. We can just carry on this. No, God is providing these people to go for it. And just as an example, the other day that the youth leaders met together, because we share our youth work with the Baptist Church. And just for one reason or another, things have got a little bit stretched with us and resources and people, and I'll be talking about this later, about people to be able to do Sunday school. So Addleston Baptist Church said, well, look, why don't we provide leaders for 3 weeks rather than every 2 weeks? We do a four-week rota, so 2 weeks we provide leaders, 2 weeks they provide leaders. They said, well, we'll cover 3 weeks, you cover 1 week, and then that releases Louise then to be able to do Sunday school. That's helpful. Isn't that brilliant? There you go, just an example. We're not in this alone. Anyway, let's read on. We're going to read now from verse 27, which is carrying on from the story. So it's the storm, in the middle of the storm, and this is what happens as we kind of get towards the end of the story. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 40 meters deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 30 meters deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. This bit really jumped out to me when I read the whole story. And the message here is don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. We're in this together. Now you might expect, now this is the interesting thing to me in this story, and this story at least, this is what it's saying. You might expect the reason not to jump ship is that if you jump ship, you will perish. Stay with the ship because that's where the safety is, that's where the security is. But in this instance, actually, Paul doesn't say that. Paul says to the centurion, unless these sailors stay, you cannot be saved. Unless you stay, none of this lot can be saved, kind of is the message. So the sailors staying with the ship is an integral part to the whole ship's company being saved. And I find that interesting because, like I say, normally you would think, well, you'd say in a group of people, look, if you jump out of this, you're going to perish. And you might even be in a boat. I understand that. I still can't quite get my head around it, but like a little lifeboat and a big ship, surely the safety was with the big ship. I don't know. I'm not a nautical expert, so maybe I'm wrong. But what he's saying here, the salvation of the boat depends on these guys staying. The ship isn't complete, if you like, if it hasn't got everybody on board. And the complete ship is the way to safety. The wooden structure of the ship isn't security in itself, just like a church building isn't security itself. You know how the world's view is that once you're inside the building, you're okay, kind of thing, almost. But actually, this is just a building. It needs the people inside it to make it a church. The church building isn't salvation itself. And the ship here depends on everyone staying on board, people to steer, people to navigate, people to just put a bit of grit in and use their muscle. And in the same way, a church needs everyone to be playing their part, playing their role, working and helping to move things forward. And I think this speaks to us particularly as a small church, and it's often a message that gets missed in a large church, but the church needs every one of its members. A church needs everyone pulling and moving together. And when everyone does that, then it benefits everyone else. And I think when we think about this way of thinking, this kind of reverses our thinking on how we think about the community around us. Because we might tend to think this, correct me if I'm wrong, but we might tend to think as we're the church, we have the gospel, the people in the community don't have the gospel, so they need us. They need us and they need the Lord because we are the way to salvation, aren't we? Do you think like that? So they're the people outside. They need us. And yes, they do. But I think what this is saying here is we need them too. They enrich our lives. And don't take this the wrong way, but some of the most exciting parts of my week are when I meet some people from the community and we start, like I did with Heather the other day. And I said, can we get the church to pray for you? And it was kind of, yes, please. That brings life to my soul. It brings life to me. And I'm sure it would do to anybody else when those kind of things happen. I remember a few weeks ago, Keith was when you were opening up for NA and a chap there, and you end up praying for this guy at the end of the NA meeting. And I could tell by just the way Keith was talking, it was like, hey, this is a good thing to do, you know, and that enriches us, doesn't it? So yes, they need us. But actually, you know, in the same kind of way, we need them. We need the life that they bring. And so I think we need to see this. We're in this together. And it removes the barriers of us and them. We are in this together. Not just we, but we, as in all these people that we come into contact with. And I think if we start to think like that, actually it makes our evangelism, our outreach and anything else like that a lot more sincere, because actually we're doing this because we genuinely love these people. We genuinely want to be with these people. We genuinely need these people. Rather than we're just trying to fill a few empty chairs and sort of tick off, yeah, outreach worked, 5 more people on the front row. Well, actually, has anyone ever sat on the front row? Yeah, it would be success if we get somebody maybe sitting there. That would be a major revival, okay? Just to let you know. I think that's a radical way of looking at things and saying that actually even the weakest people that come past here, they're not just loved, not just loved, but they're actually valued and says, you're important, we need you here. And it's, now hear this right, it's not just about giving the gospel. Actually, it is about being the gospel, because what does the gospel say? There's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, female, there's no Jew or Gentile. And actually, we're in this together. We're in this together. We are one in Christ. We're not superior. Yes, we have some things that they need, but actually, you may not realize this, but there's lots of things they have that benefit us too. It's about living the gospel, about being the gospel. And just to conclude this, and I hope I'm recouping my 72 seconds now as I finish off, but what is really going on here, what is being modelled, is actually something cross-shaped. You've heard me talk about this before, the idea of something that's cruciform or cross-shaped. Because what's happening here is something that speaks of the cross of Christ. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do. You kind of get the implication in when Jesus is praying and he says, Lord, if you can take this away, please do. But if not, your will be done. He doesn't want to do this. Now, I'm guessing these sailors, they wanted to jump ship because they wanted to save themselves, didn't they? They saw an opportunity. Look, we know what's going on here. We're getting close to land. I reckon we can make it if we get in this little lifeboat and we'll save ourselves and that lot. Well, let's not think about that. And off they go. But actually, what's enforced upon them, they didn't choose it, to be fair to them. But actually, in a way, I wonder what, you know, I won't draw the parallels too much, but it's enforced upon them what Jesus chose to do, because he, in the garden, he chose not to save himself, but he chose to go through with what was going to happen to save everyone else. He didn't jump ship at the moment of the cross. He didn't sort of find his own way out and then leave everyone else to sort of. So can you imagine what our faith would be like? Yes, we believe in Jesus. Yeah, he got to a certain point and then he sort of decided, well, I'll sort of take the easy route. And now he's left us kind of to figure out our own kind of way. That would have been, it would have been an interesting sort of, yeah, I don't, and we can't even imagine it. But as Margaret reminded us, he is faithful. He was faithful. He is faithful. And the end result benefits us all. He laid down his life and all were saved, including him. I heard somebody else say this not that long ago. They said, don't forget that God did to the gospel, he put it in these, God did to the gospel to Jesus before he did it to us, in that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. What he's done to Jesus, he does to us. So Jesus laid down his life, but that was actually the way of salvation for him, first of all, and also for all of us. So when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that's the call to journey with Christ and follow him in a Christ-like way, which is a sacrificial way, which is a way to say, I'm laying down what's important and what I think the best way forward is, because I'm laying down my life for the people around me, the community. To live for God's purposes, not just for my purposes, to lay down my life for others. That's the way of Jesus. So this is the journey. We're in this together. Don't jump ship. Don't try and do it on your own. In fact, enjoy the refreshment and the encouragement that come from the people around. But don't jump ship. Don't try and travel along with your legs kind of dangling over the edge, you know, sort of letting the water sort of tickle your toes. Don't go that way, but seek first the kingdom and get on board. And because actually, and don't forget this, God works in the church. He doesn't work really anywhere else in the world other than in and through the church. And the church needs everyone on board. And the church actually needs the people that are kind of, you kind of see them sort of dangling on the side. We need them on board because we're in this together and it benefits all of us. And at the end of this story, and I don't want to take this too far, but at the end of this story, you need to remember that everyone is saved. They all get to land safely. And I'm praying that all the people that we journey with, all the people that sort of we bump into, all the people that we collect along the way, that they would know at the this story come true for them, that at the end they're all saved. Salvation for all. So take up your cross and follow him. That's what this is about, I think, at the end of the day. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this great story. I thank you for that, this story that is part of a greater story of your work of salvation in the world around us. We thank you for Jesus, that you came to this world, gave up your life on a cross. You didn't just find the easy way out. And that action and that moment then brought salvation to us all. That through that we're all saved, including, we know that through the resurrection. And so we pray, let this really sink into us and understand this, that this is something that you've called us to be a part of and called us to live like that. I pray you give us boldness in laying down our lives for the better and the sake of the people around us, not just to be, just to do it for good works, but just to know that we are living in your footsteps and in your path and in your way, that we journey with you as we do that. And so I pray, let us now commit to now just to say, yes, Lord, we want to follow in your way and forsake our ways and lay down our goals and ambitions and say whatever is best for your glory and for the people around us, then let that happen. And I pray where that brings challenge and where that brings a challenge to sacrifice, then help us with that, Lord. But I pray open our eyes to see the people around us and know that we are better off with them and with that, them in the boat. So I pray draw more and more people to you, to know you and to know the power of the gospel that transforms and changes. Let us not be so proud as to think we have it all ourselves, but know that we need one another, and we need, there's even a greater need for people that we don't even know yet. And in all of that, we would know that you are with us. Thank you, Lord. Just open our hearts to hear what you're speaking to us today. Thank you. Amen. Just as we're praying there at the end, I'm just wondering, our young ones out there, I don't know, if you've not connected with them and just even said hello, go and do that today, you know, before you go home. Go and say hello to somebody you don't, some of the young ones. The new guy turned up this morning, I think. I just met him for the first time. Because I think actually, it's one of those things where God would actually bless us through them, you know, more and more. I'm glad, sorry, I've forgotten your son's name, 72 Second Man. You know, that blesses me, you know, I like that. And that sort of makes, that just lifts us and binds us together and know that God is working in all of this, you know, even if it's just a little jokey, little quirky thing like that. So, yeah, but and not in a kind of patronizing way, I really do think God wants to bless us through getting to relate and know them. Just as we, as the hopefully the more mature and spiritually, will have things to impart to them. But, you know, when they came back from New Day, it was great just to get the buzz off them, wasn't it? You know? So, enjoy it. Right, there's today's challenge. Easy, yeah. Yeah, go and buy them an ice cream, that'll help.